morning we're going to talk about enjoy being young, even though you can make application if you're a little bit older. Most of us tend to think that we're still young for some reason until we start to do something and we realize we're not as young as we thought we were. But today, there's several people in this audience I hope can get something out of this lesson. Ecclesiastes 11, starting with verse 7, is the kind of a formula, if you will, for enjoying being young. The writer of this, Solomon, certainly had some insight from God on how to enjoy your life, and especially while you're younger. Ecclesiastes 11, starting with verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Doesn't sound too good at this point. Sounds like he's saying, wow, you know, you don't really have much to look forward to. That's not exactly what he's saying in this. He's saying how to prepare for a life that would seem to be that way. So he goes on and says, rejoice, O young man in your youth. And by the way, this is from the New King James Version. If you have another version, there will be words that will change. We'll talk about that as we go through the lesson. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. They are empty. They don't last very long as we look back. So now, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come or the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, this is a formula for life. It talks about how you start this life, and it's certainly wonderful to have some young people in our audience from very young ages up to in their 20s and even some young people that are now in their 30s, and in my case, some young people who are in their 40s. But anyway, it just happens that way. When we're young, there are just different situations that occur and things in life that we experience we will not experience again. So God made us so that we could grow, both physically and mentally and spiritually. He made that possible through some of it, just natural things, others through His Word. But it's always been difficult to make it through our youth. Until we mature, temptation is very strong. It allures us. It draws us in. We have those normal desires, and before we know it, those normal desires turn into lust, and the next thing we know, we're doing things we shouldn't be doing if we aren't careful and don't follow God. And the one thing about this is that it takes time to get wisdom. And so we tend to make more mistakes until we learn better, and as we get older, we still make mistakes, but hopefully not the same ones over and over. We tend to more succumb to what Satan puts out there. And for some reason, when we're young, we believe we're invincible. We put on that Superman cape and we just jump and hope for the best, and it doesn't work out real well for us, and we think we can do things that get us in trouble. And as a result of that, we find a lot of things happen. There are more car accidents among young people, premarital sex, pregnancies, alcohol, drug use, crime, and violence are very high among those in their teens and early 20s. I just saw something the other day where it said that 93 people on average die every day from opioid use or from the new drug use, and most of those are young people. They think they can do it. They think drugs are okay, and they don't realize that, first of all, they're violating God's law by using any illegal drug, and even legal drugs that would do damage to our bodies. And they don't care about things seemingly like premarital sex and things like that. They seem to think it's okay nowadays and are raised that way. And alcohol use is very high. Most car accidents, over 50% of them, are a result usually of either alcohol or drug use. And on and on and on. And when we look at this and we think about it, just watch the news and you see that it's very high. And it's a very difficult thing. Linda was talking to a young man this past week, and he commented on the fact that, young to us, he's not that young anymore, But he commented on the fact that he wishes he had changed his life when he was younger. He wishes he hadn't made some of those mistakes. He regrets them now very much. And he thinks about talking to God about them frequently because it bothers him a lot that he did things that he wishes he hadn't done. And so many of us look back at our lives and we say, well, we wish we hadn't have done that and this and that. But we don't have to do them. We can enjoy these years to the fullest and we can make it through the years and still please God. But how's that possible? Well, let's look at some things. Enjoy your youth. You'll only be young once. That sounds kind of trite, but that's the truth. You just don't get to go back. It's just not possible. There's nothing we can do to go back. And so he says, rejoice in them. Now this word means to brighten up, to cheer up, to be glad, joyful, merry. Rejoice. Rejoice. Just be happy in them. So let's look at the term rejoice. And let's think about something for a moment. If we could just get young people to rejoice in one thing and not use all these other things to make themselves, they think, happy for the moment, if we just rejoiced in God. God loves you. Matter of fact, 1 John 4:8-10 says that He is love. And it says He proved His love in that He gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He showed love to us long before we ever came into this life. God loves you very much. If you looked at your life and if you picked out a being that loves you with His whole being, that would be the God of heaven. He loves you so much that He wants your life to be good. He did everything possible to make it good. He wants you to start it out right. And in Jeremiah 1, I love this passage of Scripture. A very young man, he's approached certainly by God, and the word of the Lord came to him, and it said in verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Young people, God knew you before He formed you in the womb. He knew you before you ever came into this life. He knew all about you. The days of your life were already written. It isn't that He wrote them. He allows you to write them, but He knows. He doesn't live in time like we do. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I made you something, Jeremiah. Now, as a result of that, I'm giving you a choice. And so, I have a plan for you. He has a plan for you. This isn't just Jeremiah that He has a plan for. For him, He said, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What's the plan for you? I don't know. What was the plan for me? I hope I fulfilled part of that plan that God had for me in doing things that He would want me to do. But what's the plan for you, young person? God has it already planned. He wants you to do something. And I'll tell you what He wants you to do. I can tell you right now, I don't know all about everything, but I can tell you this much. He wants you to be the best person you can possibly be, to take, if you will, advantage of the death of His Son on the cross, to live a life for other people, to serve and to do everything possible, just like He wanted Jeremiah to do. But rejoice in His creation. I'll tell you what, I don't think we rejoice enough in His creation. We live in a world where we're so confined by the city and all the pollution, as Kyle talks about, of the lights, that you can't see what God has created. Sometimes it's good to go out and see His earth. He talks about in Isaiah 45, I'm the Creator. I'm the one that made it all. But not was I just the Creator. He didn't just form this for the fun of it and say, look at me. What He did was, in verse 12, I have made the earth and created man on it. Think about that for a moment. He made that so you could look at it as a young person and say, I am in awe of God. I am in awe of what He's done. I look at this earth, and sometimes if you go out to the Rocky Mountains or the Smoky Mountains or somewhere else and you just look at it, you're in awe of Him. How did He do this? How did He form it to be so beautiful? How did He make all these things that would just make us stand there speechless? And in verse 18, again, He comments that it didn't just make the earth. I created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. This particular one planet He formed to be inhabited, so we could look at the rest of it. But not just that, we could look up at the heavens. And the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. When you look up, don't just look up. Look up and say, there is a God. That's what He wants. They declare His glory. Rejoice in His Word. Too many times young people don't have time for God. They don't have time to study God's Word. I am thankful to have some young people among us who take the time out to look at God's Word, who study it together, who take the time to pick it up and understand it and know it. in the 19th Psalm, again, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Too many people look at God's Word as a burden on them, restrictive. It doesn't allow me to do what I want to do. No. If we do what He says, they made all these commands for our good, always. He made it so they would rejoice our heart. We pick up the Word of God and now we understand how to live. We don't have to question it. We can figure it out from God's Word. It'll thoroughly equip us unto every good work. It is His Word, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It will provide everything for us. It'll do everything we need. He made sure that we were not left in the dark. And rejoice, young people, in the family He brought you into. Now, I know for some people this is difficult because the family life is not that good. But for the people who have really good parents, who really try hard, who make mistakes but are trying hard, He says, these are the type of people in Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she's old. For parents who are really trying, appreciate them. Appreciate the good friends that you have. Too many times we have friends who aren't that good for us. They encourage us when we're young to do evil things. We know those people. Why do we stick around them? I don't know. But in Proverbs 12, verse 26, He says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Too many people want to be with the wicked people because they get enjoyment out of that and they don't choose it. But another thing that He says in this is, let your heart cheer you. Be happy, in other words. The heart, the feelings, the will, and even the intellect, the center of everything, the wisdom. Let your heart cheer you. Too many young people take such seriousness in life, and they should. They don't take time out, though, to let their heart be cheerful. They're so concentrating on every responsibility they have and everything that they're having to make decisions about, and it is a time of decision-making. I'll tell you what, it is a tough, tough time. I don't want to pick an age, but let's say from 10 up to 21, it's tough. There's lots of decisions to be made. There's life choices that might have the rest of your life may be affected by the choice you make. And people aren't cheerful enough. Young people aren't. And from the heart shows where the treasures are. In Matthew 6:21, how we think, our background, our basis for life shows where we're really concerned about. Are we concerned about this life or are we looking for a life to come? Because He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It doesn't take very long to be around a young person to find out where their treasure is, does it? What do they talk about? What do they say? How do they act? How do they dress? What do they do? Pretty soon you figure out where their treasure is, just like you do in those of us that are older. It determines what you say, because from the mouth comes the issues of life. Because where did all those things originate? In the mind. It is in our minds. And that's exactly, it doesn't just happen that we say things. And He talked to the Jews about that, and He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your heart will always be told by what you talk about, how you speak, what you speak about, the things that you're interested in. It brings either good or bad. The mouth shows what we're thinking, young people. It won't take long for people to know about you. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I talked about the tongue in a recent lesson and how it is so bad and dangerous, or how it can be so good and helpful in our lives, and we need to think about that. But the cheerfulness or the happiness that comes with this, you're going to go through some difficult times. I see young people who have very difficult lives, and it just seems like sadness is a part of their life. And that's because they haven't been able to turn their lives toward God. But in Psalm 30, there's a formula for this on how to make your life better. He talks about this. He says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name, for His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He said, don't let it wear you down. Don't let the things of this life, even if they come from God, let them be a stepping stone. Let your life be good. Be cheerful. Let joy come back. Don't live your life where it's down and out all the time and you walk around looking like you have nothing going on in life. And I see too many young people that are that way. You need to learn to overcome those things. We have a way of overcoming the sorrows of this life. We're going to have them, as he talked about from Ecclesiastes 11. Young people are going to have them. None of us are immune to those things when we're growing up. In Proverbs 15, verse 13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Don't let Satan break you down. Put a smile on your face. Enjoy life. You're going to go through difficult things. And I'll tell you what, pick out an older person that you know has gone through a lot in life and pick out one that's made it through it with a smile on their face and emulate that person. In verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Something to feast on. Something to have. Something to look forward to. Get up with a smile on your face, realizing that God gave you this day. Think about that for a moment, young people. Don't let all these things get you down. Don't let all the things, and whatever they may be, don't let it happen. Learn that gladness comes from God. It is through God that we can be happy, and only through God. And that's why I say pick out some people that you know are happy people. People that enjoy life. People that make the most of this life. In the fourth Psalm, David talks about that. Starting with verse 6, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Now, that's an attitude of life. There's nothing good. There's nothing good. There's nothing good. There's many things that are good. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season than their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. If we realize that God is on our side, we can be some of the happiest people when we're young possible. Be that image for other people. Show them how to be happy in life. And then he says, walk in the way of your heart. It has to be educated and pure. Can't be just walk the way you want to. Let your conscience be your guide. If your conscience is educated, you're going to get into trouble. In the 119th Psalm, he makes it clear that there's a way to do this. Beautiful Psalm, long Psalm, and there's much about how the Word of God affects your life. The more you understand the Word of God, you'll know how to walk. You'll know how to live your life. In the second verse, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, their entire heart. When do you start that? When you're young. In verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Your heart will be in it. People will see that in you, that you want to serve God. Verse 58, talking about how we turn to God. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. In the 145th verse of this, he talks about this as well, our whole heart being in it. I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. Not only do we turn to His Word, but we turn to Him with our whole heart and we ask of Him the things we have need of. It has to be a true heart. A heart that is honest before God. Can't be one of those where I'm going to live the way I want to, then I'm going to talk to God about it, and then I'm going to live the way I want to, and I'm going to talk to God about it. He's not pleased with that. In Hebrews 10, starting with verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, taking care of that, cleaning it up, so that your conscience can be clean and pure. Our bodies washed with pure water. He lets us know that's the only way we can draw near to Him. And the psalmist would say the same thing in the 24th Psalm when he would make a comment about the only ones that God will be pleased with are those who approach Him the right way. In the 24th Psalm, verses 3 through 5. If you want to approach God, this is how it has to be done. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That's just as true today as it was when David wrote this. When we think about this, who has clean hands and a pure heart? Well, that's not possible that maybe you haven't sinned. It's just possible, though, that you can get forgiveness of those sins and clean your heart and have that pure conscience. And then in Ephesians 5:15, he talks about walking circumspectly or carefully, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Walk very carefully. It is so easy to fall into sin. But then he talks about walking in the sight of your eyes, focused. Now, the eyes of the soul are talked about in, or the eye of the soul in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, he talks about this eye of the soul and that it is what comes through the eye, if you will, that makes the difference. In Matthew 6:22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is in darkness, how great is that darkness? He goes on to talk about enlightened eyes, eyes that have now seen, if you will, the light, who understand and know what they need to be doing. In Ephesians 1:15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I was thinking as I was reading this and studying this, that this is a prayer that parents should be praying for their children. Isn't it what you want? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Not our physical eyes. The eyes of our understanding. Open up your eyes of understanding. Let them be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. It has to be eyes that are removed from sin. Again, it goes beyond the physical eyes. But the physical eyes are what we use to look at things. And the problem with that is we see so many things when we're young that we want to be either a part of or engaged in or want to do. And he says in verse 47 of Mark 9, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And as we comment so many times, he's making a powerful point about this. Obviously, one eye plucking it out is not going to help you because the other eye would still be there. That's not what he's discussing. If whatever your problem is that you are using your eyes to view causes a problem for you, get those eyes somewhere else. Turn them away from it. Move away from whatever's causing you a problem. That's difficult. Difficult when you're young, it's difficult when you're old. It really doesn't matter. It's a difficult thing. Being young should be enjoyed because it is brief. How do I know that? Well, just look at me. Obviously, it was very brief, and not too many people in this room got to see me when I was young. So it went by quickly, and here I am. And you look at me and you go, well, he never was young. Well, yes, I was, actually. I was. God meant for us to enjoy being young to its fullest. He never meant for us to be a bunch of sad people that go through life with their heads hung down. He meant to keep our heads high, enjoy life, look at everything He's created, look at His Word, look to Him, and life is so good. And we can enjoy it without letting sin reign in our mortal bodies, He talks about in Romans 6:12. Christ is the perfect example of this. As He grew up, He continually kept what He was supposed to do on His mind. And at age 12, He was more wise than those He was talking to. And we see His life as an example of one who understood, and He started young doing this as a human being. The question is, you want to emulate Him? Start today. Have you started obeying God today? Are you a Christian? Are you doing what He wants you to do? If not, think seriously about your situation today. Think seriously about becoming a child of His. Think seriously about being born again, becoming young again, if you will. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?